cracking.
Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 530. I still feel awkward saying anything above 500. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end this week is Jeremy Mays. What's up, good sir?
Hey, what's going on, man? Not a whole lot here. Just clacking away.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny. We talked a lot before the show here, and I am marginally jealous because Charlotte is an old hotbed for professional wrestling. You guys tend to get a few more events than the fine city of Columbus does, despite them being approximately the same size.
Because Charlotte has that history of the NWA,
yeah,
and Mid-Atlantic for sure, because a lot of those guys live around here. And I've talked about it before, but yeah, and a lot of it's not here in Charlotte. We got to drive out to Concord. You know what there is to do in Concord? Nothing. You leave.
I need
to take that back. Where the Cabarrus Arena is, there is nothing out there. I mean, there isn't even a bar near it. So you got to get all liquored up and then drive to get over there. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I guess I don't do the pregame beers all that often before any of the events.
Well, Concord's got a few breweries that are that honestly, like, I'm being way more critical than I should be, but they've got a couple breweries. One of my favorite ones, actually, High Branch. They do some interesting stuff, and it's always good. And it's smaller than the size of my living room, so they're moving soon. So,
oh, well, that's good news.
Yeah, it'd be nicer if they moved closer to Charlotte, because I think they do. Because Concord is 45 minutes, and that's with good traffic. So it would be nice if they could get closer. I think their business would go better. And there were actually rumors of them moving around, like, my neighborhood, which would have been gangbusters, man. That would have been so sweet. But
oh, gotcha.
So far, it hasn't happened. But and for my health, it's probably a good thing that they didn't. So, yeah.
So many options. So many ways to do that.
The beer seems just stupid here. They just opened another one near us. And by the end of the year, I think there's supposed to be three more. I mean, it's already October. That's crazy. That's just craziness.
Oh.
So.
Yes. I think we finally not added any breweries this year.
Wow, really? All year, nothing?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe 43 is enough.
Hmm.
All right.
you have 43 breweries there?
Within, like, if you're talking 45 minutes, yeah, within 45 minutes. And I'd probably say that most of them are probably within 30 minutes.
Okay. See, most of, I mean, Charlotte's all, like, what we consider Charlotte is within, like the metro area. So, not metro area, but, like, Charlotte proper. So, even, like, Indian Trail is 20-minute drive. That doesn't count. So, like, Charlotte itself, I think, has 25 now. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I would say that proper Columbus or, you know, very close to it probably has something in that area with about 20 of them maybe being out, you know, like, yeah, something in that area being outside the 270 loop.
Okay. Yeah, and something comes up, it's like, oh, and a new brewery's coming. And I was like, another brewery. I was like, shut the fuck up. Another one that we're all going to go to. So just quiet down. There's a reason none of them go out of business. Unless you're a bad business person, and that's why they go out of business.
It's just pretty much just taking the place of a bar.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes. But see, that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that's how it used to be. There used to be, like, the corner bar made its own beers. That's famously where I think how Budweiser, I believe, started.
Yeah.
Is that with Budweiser?
I mean, I don't know why people's history lessons, like, they think the gangsters are cool during Prohibition, but they don't realize that they were fighting for, you know, breweries that were on every goddamn corner back then.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, this damn hipster stuff. And I'm like, well, no, they've, it's like been around for a really long time, guys.
Yeah. Just, yeah. That's the way things used to be. And they were better back then. So, I mean, obviously not everything was better back then. But there are certainly some aspects of life that were way better. To be able to go down to the corner bar, chill out, and they're like, hey, try this. Or hey, do this. That's pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can now, but it's not fresh. No matter what they say, it's not fresh. So, whatever. Anyways. Yeah.
Did you have to drive out to Concord for Evolve?
Oh, yes, yeah. So we went out for Evolve 138. We stopped at Southern Strain, the last of the Concord breweries I hadn't tried, so... Knock that city off the list. and I had a lemon cherry sour.
Ooh.
It was good. It almost had not vinegar. I don't know why I keep thinking that, but it didn't have a vinegar taste. But it had, I don't know, like whatever the yeast compound or the sour yeast they put in.
Yeah.
That sour enzyme, excuse me, not
yeast. Yeah, is it a lactic acid?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, I love drinking sours. I don't know much about them. But yeah, it had like an overwhelming like aroma from it.
Gotcha.
That you don't usually get. So the taste was good. I like sour. So to me, it was a little on the weak side, but had a good flavor. So anyways, so we had a couple there. Then went out to the Cabarrus Arena, where apparently there must have been a circus or something going on at Cabarrus Arena, because we were in the Cabarrus Auditorium, whatever. So it was big. It was a big room, but it only had, I think, 200 people, which is, I mean, what are you going to get for Evolve, you know?
Yeah.
They don't do thousands of people.
I wouldn't think they'd try to get any places larger than, you know, 1,500, and that kind of seems like a generous arena.
Oh, you could have fit a lot of people in this thing. But, so we get there, pretty cool. Ciampa and Gargano were there, they were doing an autograph, they were doing meet and greet, but you had to pay for it? And I was like, no? I don't know.
Yeah, that is certainly one aspect of... Well, it's actually just culture in general that, like, I have not come around on.
No, because I remember, like, I know this is aging us, but we met, saw D'Lo Brown, it was free.
Oh.
We just went out to the place and met him. We didn't pay anything to get his autograph.
Right.
Yeah.
And what you're paying to get these autographs, I'm like, you know what I do with that autograph? Forget about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting an autographed 8x10, okay. I was there to see Cassius Ohno, and he didn't disappoint.
Uh-huh.
But so it was cool they were there. I'm not. I don't know, man.
And they didn't wrestle it. Gargano and Ciampa didn't wrestle at all.
No, they didn't even make an appearance on the show. They were just there.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I wonder if they did that because of low sales. Because they were offering like discounted tickets that day. So I don't know.
Oh.
Like we were in the front row, which you can see my stupid big face. Staring with, honestly, dude, my mouth is open while I'm watching, and I'm looking like, oh my god, what am I doing? And my beard's got a lot of gray in it now, so I immediately shaved it down, so it's like stubble looks a lot better than longer. Like Jesus Christ, that's awful. It's terrible.
Oh,
and
so this is why we're not moving to video on Stunt Granny.
No, I'd be more animated for this. At least I'm talking. You're just watching, you know? Like, I don't know. The older I've gotten, the more I just kind of watch. Like, I'll go to a show, unless I'm drinking, of course. But I'm just there just taking everything in. And, like, I've actually been asked, like, are you having a good time? Like, yeah. I don't know. I just start, like, I don't know if I'm analyzing or what the fuck I'm doing, but it doesn't look like I'm having any fun. It looks like I'm just staring, which I guess I kind of am. But anyways, yeah, so, yeah, but, so this was cool. They had the concession stand like normal, and then they had a gourmet cupcake stand. One of the local businesses was selling gourmet cupcakes.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I got one. It was pretty good. I got the, I think I, did I get the Gargano one? She did them all themed. So it was like a Gargano one with little, like, smiley faces. The Blackheart Ciampa one. There was something else.
Was that black licorice in that one?
I think hers was a red velvet cake with a chocolate, like, molten chocolate in the middle or something.
Oh, damn, man.
I didn't get that one. But, nah, that's not my thing. But they all look cool. They're only $3. I mean, what the hell? And it worked out because during intermission, the concession stand was already closed. And so the ring announcer for Evolve, can't remember his name, actually goes, well, you can go back. Well, the concession stand's closed. So he looks to his right and he goes, there are still cupcakes available over there. So people went over to the cupcake stand. I was like, nice ploy, man. Nice work on the cupcake people being smart and staying there. So I couldn't believe they didn't sell out because as we've come to know from going to these shows attract wrestling fans. You know exactly what I mean when I say wrestling fans. So
they're not shy about their cupcake intake?
Man, cupcake intake, hygiene, alright, so we're in the front row, right off the aisle, and we're just watching. My buddy Frazier, we always go. And, of course, I'm sitting next to a guy who's got the WWE book. Like, and I don't know what book it was, but like WWE Encyclopedia, where he's getting all the wrestlers to sign it. Which, to be honest, that's not a bad idea.
Oh.
So, if a wrestler's in the book, they sign the book. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm not ripping him that, but in his life, have fun. But at the same token, dude, I don't care. Like, he's just making bad one-liners, like trying to get people to laugh. And I'm just like, God, just stop. Just watch this. Enjoy the show. So anyways, the show starts. Pretty good show, dude. Couple takeaways.
Uh-huh.
Well, Slim J didn't get a chance to wrestle because he hurt his back. It was actually a doubleheader. There was PWX, which is a local fed, and then Evolve was 2 hours later. Well, Slim J, who's the champion at PWX, apparently had a pretty serious back injury. Like, he couldn't feel anything.
Oh boy!
Yeah, and then I guess this was the whispers. Now, on the way out, he got feeling in his hands, and now he's got feeling in everything again. But he got messed up, so his match didn't take place. But I'm trying to remember. Was he on that AIW show? No, I don't think it was. Anyways, but no. So some takeaways. Shotzi Blackheart.
Yes.
She's got green hair, some tattoos. She just got signed. William Regal offered her a contract the night before in Atlanta. So she was there. She wrestled.
Why did I think I saw her advertised for not the WWE? Why did I saw her for Impact?
I don't think. Maybe at one point. But she's in Evolve, and she's also in Shine, which I didn't know. I had not heard of Shine. That's Evolve's women's division.
Oh, okay.
So just when you think, oh, there's nothing else to watch, don't worry, there's something else now. So anyways.
there are definitely not enough options out there.
Yeah, but she took on one of the local girls. I think her name was Savannah Evans. Real athletic, thick black chick.
Uh-huh.
Like, right up my alley sort of thing. And she's good, but you can tell she's a little green. But
gotcha.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, I did not watch much of was it Evolve? Was it 100? Was on the WWE Network?
I think so. Or is it 125?
Maybe it's 125. Yeah, 100 doesn't seem right if they're on. What'd you say you went to? 128?
38.
138?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I know it wasn't that long ago. But maybe it's just an anniversary and it was kind of an.
It was actually 131.
Oh, 131. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
But I saw Shotzi Blackheart on that, and I only maybe watched like the first half of that card because I think I just never got back around to finishing it up. But I really liked her in her match. She had some type of a hardcore match on that card.
Oh, okay. Well, we had that. That's how ours ended. Not with those two, but so Shotzi actually wins over the local talent.
Yeah.
Then there was like a four-way match, and it was fine. A guy I never heard of, Adrian Alanis, he was fine. He kind of reminded me of like a less jacked Riddick Moss. Oh. And then Colby Carino still kicking around, which is creepy. He looks so much like his dad.
Yes, he does.
And he's got the beard now, just like his dad's shitty beard he used to wear. And then Harlem Bravado, or I'm sorry, Bravado. I don't know why I keep saying it that way. Harlem Bravado and Josh Briggs. Briggs won. So there's that. Josh Briggs isn't terrible. He's going to be somewhere. He'll be somewhere eventually. I'm not sure about the other people. So, and then Babatunde was there.
Who?
Babatunde, that giant dude from NXT.
Oh, I...
Okay. He's a giant. He came out, and I was like, oh my god. So I actually, like, stood up. Like, he walked in front of us, so I saw him coming, so I stood up, because I just wanted to see how tall he was.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like he was, like, a foot taller than me. It was crazy. And then he took on Sean Maluda. Maluda destroyed him the entire match, which didn't make much sense. And then Babatunde does one move and wins. I'm like, well, that's not very impressive. So,
yeah, I hate that style of match.
You know, it was guy beating up the big guy, and
well, there that part's bad. But I also don't like that you've gotten the snot kicked out of you, and I know that it was probably actually more than one move, but. Any time that it's like, you know, maybe six at the most.
Honestly, it was maybe two. It was that bad. Like it was, or not that bad because the crowd got into it, but it was literally him just getting out wrestled, if you want to put it that way, and then just came at it, hit him with like a reversal or something, and then his giant choke slam or whatever it was, and that was it. And I was like, what? That's it?
Yeah. Well. So, even if it was two, I hate that style of match. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense because it's like, really, your offense should be less effective because you've been beat down the whole match. And definitely that minimal amount of moves should not be winning you the matchup.
Yeah. So that was just whatever. I was just more impressed with, like, Babatunde, how big he was. And he wasn't lumbering either. He was an athletic dude. He moved pretty good in the ring for being so big. So,
gotcha.
Kind of like an early Strowman type, if he can figure it out. I just thought of that. So it might not be correct, but I just said it anyway. Okay, so the next match was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It was Anthony Gutierrez, who's a former Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, and Arturo Ruiz.
Oh, okay.
He's the bald dude with the black hair, with the black beard. He took on Riddle a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he just recently changed his name.
Did he really? What was it before?
Didn't they repackage him on NXT recently?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I feel like he had...
He was Adrian...
Judo, or...
Yeah, that was it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, his other name's better. There was one point that, like, it started off like that Riddle match he had, where they were just doing jiu-jitsu the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Reversals, like, submissions, just takedowns, everything. And, you know, at first they're like, okay. Then they give, like, all right, good job, fist bump. And then they just start getting angry with each other. And I turned to Frasier at one point and was like, are they really fighting? Like, it was that convincing. It was awesome.
Good deal.
I mean, they're smacking the shit out of each other. Like, just open hands, like the old palm strike.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you tell the referee, I didn't punch him, I hit him with an open palm.
Yeah.
Doing all that stuff. I mean, it was nuts. And then it got into some wrestling stuff, obviously. And then there was the comeback. And I don't remember how it ended, but it ended pretty good. And the crowd was like, yeah, this is pretty fucking sweet. And they leave. So, but then I guess that was their second match against each other.
Oh,
I watched like the Evolve 138 Roundup when I got home, or the next morning. And I guess they're going to have a rubber match now. So,
oh,
I'd watch it though if they put it on. I mean, it's worth watching for sure.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw of, you know, like I said, even though it was only like half of that one show, they seem to have some quality stuff. You know, it really is one of those. I've only got so many wrestling hours on my schedule, and it's increased recently. And I'm not sure I really want to increase it even more.
Well, thank God for working from home, man. I mean, like, Shahid and I probably talk about this when we record Thursday. Like, it was fine because none of the TV shows we watched were on.
Oh.
And now they're all back. And
oh.
We got all those and all this new wrestling to watch. Like, my God. Because you have to make choices after a while. But, and then...
Yeah, I still have not gotten to some stuff because, you know, we had a somewhat busy weekend, and that's usually when I can do a little catch up. And
well, my,
yeah.
Well, right now with college football on, that's my Saturday. Even if it's not Michigan, I'm watching some of the games. So, for some useless knowledge base, I guess. But
yeah, they're between all the teams. There's always someone to watch around here.
Yeah, true.
between the right. Three teams.
Yes. let me finish this up real quick. Cassius Ohno beat Curt Stallion. I'm not impressed with Curt Stallion at all. But Cassius is so good. I know he's got the rap for being like looking like he's out of shape. Man, it doesn't matter. We went and saw him in Detroit, which I think we all forgot about. Cesaro still had hair.
Yeah, I'd be interested to, I don't think any of us, like, wrote down the full card of that ROH show, but I would be interested to see who was on that, because the only person I remember is Matt Sydal being on there and seeing his Shooting Star Press for the first time, and I about shit my pants. Because that was definitely the biggest one I'd ever seen. And yeah, the best looking one I'd ever seen.
Well, that was when, remember the Motor City Machine Guns showed up. And they weren't, because remember they were in TNA, they saw that working agreement. And we were like, what the hell? And then everyone's cheering, and he's like, alright, we're getting out of this dump, we're going back to Orlando. And threw the mic down, and everyone started booing. I remember that, that was fucking cool.
Now, I remember that, and was it you and Dusty interviewing Colt Cabana?
No, Eric and I.
Or you and
Dusty
Eric.
Stayed downstairs for some reason. So, we're like, where are you? But, anyways. But no, Ohno is so good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's such a nonchalant arrogant. And it was crazy. Just crazy. So, go out of your way to watch it. It's a slow match, but he's doing, like, it's slow, but he's so fluid. Just transitioning from move to move, hold to hold, position, whatever. It just, there's no stutter anywhere. It's crazy. A guy that big, regardless of however big you want to say he is, shouldn't move that fluid. And he does. So, and he won with a tap out. I believe it was a tap out. Yeah, he never knocked him out. It was just a tap out. But the tap out made perfect sense. So, after the break, we had Cameron Grimes and Eddie Kingston. I don't understand why people like Eddie Kingston. That's all I'm going to say about that, because Cameron won. then we had, it was an Evolved Tag Team title match. AR Fox and Leon Ruff, they're part of the Skulk. don't know why they call him the Skull, but beat Anthony Green, who looks like an old porn star, and Austin Theory, who is the Evolve champion and NXT guy.
Oh, yeah.
With Anthony Green comes out with this one woman, Brandi Lauren. And go out of your way to look her up, because she is really pretty. And the pictures you see of her, she is thick. Like, she's been doing a lot of squats. So she came out earlier in the show. There's a reason for this. She comes out earlier in the show and beats some rave girl in like 30 seconds, badmouths everything. So she's, you know, we're supposed to boo her. She gets out of the ring, and they have these awkwardly set up stairs. We're so used to the big steel WWE steps that when you see normal, like, metal steps, like you get into a trailer or something with, you're like, why do you have those there? One, no one used them except the ring announcers. So every time they'd fight outside, I'm like, someone's going to hit those things. It's going to be terrible. Well, she didn't see them. So she's, like, strutting out of the ring, like, ugh, boom, and just trips right over them. Like, falls forward over them right in front of us. And I'm like, oh, that poor girl. Everyone starts laughing, which she was good about it. She was in character. She's yelling at everybody. The guy next to me says something to her. She yells at me. I'm just sitting there. She's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, I'm not. She's like, shut your mouth. I look better than you. And I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Because you're all slack-jawed.
I look as pretty as she does. And all I came up with, well, no shit. And I turned to Frazier and I go, she got me. I wasn't prepared for that. Like, yell at the guy next to me. He's the one giving you shit. I felt bad for you. Well, the hell with you. But then when she comes out later, the guy says something to her about watch out for the steps. She turns around, and I'm like, she better not say something to me this time. And she started yelling at him this time. I'm like, all right, cool. But one thing about this match that stands out every time I see him, AR Fox is awesome. The last time we were there for whatever Evolve show it was, it was AR Fox versus Shane Strickland, who is now Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Oh, okay.
That match was just insane. I don't understand how this guy's not in WWE, or NXT at least, or AEW, or Ring of Honor for that matter. I don't get it. He's awesome.
Well, is he a man of Keller?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's not in AEW.
yeah.
Okay. Terrible joke. Well, maybe not so terrible joke, but...
Inaccurate, but yeah. Yeah. I don't know what his situation is, but if Triple H ain't taking him, then he needs to go somewhere else, because they've got this... Okay. So the Street Profits, you know how they do their little dance in the ring and everyone's like going, hey, hey, like that?
Right.
AR Fox did that first. Him and his group were doing that. So whenever he'd be in the ring, he'd start dancing. His whole crew, he's got like five or six people outside the ring. They're obnoxious. And they're supposed to be the good guys, mind you.
Oh.
But they're obnoxious as hell. Oh, Austin Theory is not likable. Even when he was doing like a, because they had other people doing a meet and greet, which I think they were free. It was Babatunde, Cassie Sono, and Austin Theory. I think Josh Briggs might have been there too, but he's unpleasant to look at. He's just like an 80s movie villain with muscles. So, but like the two of them, I guess, fought the night before, and Theory won. But then at the end of this, AR Fox pinned Theory, so they retain the tag titles. But I don't understand why AR Fox isn't somewhere else. It seems obvious. But I don't know much about him, so maybe there's baggage I'm not aware of. So, but then the last match was like two local guys, but they were both on the Evolve show that's on the network. JD Drake and Anthony Henry. They used to be a team called the Lethal Enforcers. And then Henry turned on Drake and cost Drake the World Wrestling Network title. So they finally had a match, and I mean, it was a let me make sure I get this right. A backyard North Carolina brawl. No, fight. Or North Carolina backyard fight. Yeah, that was it. So they did a whole bunch of stuff, and it was fine, but, you know, it's like, all right. So is Falls Count Anywhere, do any of this stuff? And I was like, this would have been the perfect time for the concession stand to be open. like throw the guy through the, like, through back over there or something, but it was fine. It was what it was. There's a clever ending where, like, J.D. Drake didn't want the match, but Anthony Henry just kept saying, no, we're doing this, so he's like, fine. So at the end, he's beating him up, and Drake, like, stops and, like, looks down at him, and the whole crowd's doing the no thing, because he was, like, going to forgive him.
Oh, uh-huh.
And Henry's like, all right. And then Henry tries to kick him in the nuts, but J.D. Drake saw it coming and squeezed his legs closed real quick. And you can see in the frame, Frazier just goes, ah, good move. And then Drake hits him with the Drake Driller. It's a pretty cool, it's a front suplex that goes with a twist into a brain buster.
Oh.
Pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool looking. It looks terrible. I mean, it looks like it hurts. And then that was the end of that, and then, you know, we went home, so. But again, it's like a little independent show like that. I mean, independent, even though it's got WWE backing of sorts. Just fun, man. I mean,
oh.
I know I was, like, the guy next to me is like, whatever, but there were people there that were just there to have fun. And, like, they were booing who they were supposed to, or cheering. They were booing who they wanted to, really, and cheering for whoever they wanted to. So I highly suggest going.
Yeah, I'll have to
take for 50, whatever. I think takes for like $15. So, you know, just give it a try. Plus, you can see some people that may be stars soon.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they travel here. Like, I don't feel like I see anything, but I am not always the best at looking around for stuff either. So it could be on me.
Man, we live in fun times because we found out about this show at Clash of Champions. I don't know how, but we did. And I ordered the tickets on my phone while we were at Clash of Champions. So while I'm at a wrestling show, I'm ordering tickets for another wrestling show.
It's
a great time we live in. It's just a fantastic time.
Yeah. And as we've kind of mentioned a couple of times, I believe off air, like, most of our problems are not with the in-ring talent when it comes to our gripes with professional wrestling at this current time.
Oh, no, dude. I mean, even going back to the Hell in a Cell fiasco, that's not on the talent, because they have no leverage. Like,
oh,
a guaranteed contract is nice, but what are you going to do? No, I'm not going to do this? Like, you got the old man, who clearly doesn't know what's going on much anymore. So I don't blame Bray Wyatt. I don't really blame Seth Rollins. They're making Seth Rollins look stupid. Rollins is supposed to be the good guy, but he's attacking the bad guy who people love.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I'm not even sure how you solve the problem. Like, other than just kind of keep on playing things. Like, everyone cheers for the heels for the most part and boos the good guys now. Like, because I don't know what other way to put it, honestly. Like, no one wants to cheer for the good guys. And
look at the dorks that are good guys, though. Or, like, how bad they are.
That does not help at all.
Yeah.
That, and I mean, Seth Rollins should not have been that afraid. Like, it's one thing to be shocked when someone shows up. It's another thing to be outright frightened and not want to deal with the problem as a babyface. That is definitely unacceptable, and Seth Rollins has just been written into that spot now. And they might end up Yeah, like, I don't know how they're going to handle the championship situation. Honestly, man. Like, it's pretty weird that Rollins, I mean, I guess they're going to have one last, well, and it's a question they haven't really answered. Are they going to have separate pay-per-views? Are they going to go back to separate pay-per-views now that they've separated the rosters, quote-unquote?
No, I think it's just going to be the co-branded one still.
Yeah, I mean, then you can still have a cross-brand feud, but it doesn't... Yeah.
Well, USA and Fox want two totally separate rosters, and they don't want crossover, so... Which makes no sense if you look at the Crown Jewel card.
Oh.
Seth is fighting Bray Wyatt in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Well, Seth is on Raw. Bray's on SmackDown. Yeah, Braun Strowman is fighting Tyson Fury. Okay. Cain Velasquez, who doesn't have a brand, I mean, I think, if I remember right. Let me see.
No, he is, I believe, one of the free agents when I pulled up.
Okay.
Of all, well, I don't even know if they listed him under free agents, honestly. No, they did not have him. Oh, they had him under part-time, likely ineligible. Cain Velasquez, John Cena, Ronda Rousey, The Undertaker. Which seems like a pretty solid list to put on your ineligible list.
Oof. Well, yeah, the list I have, like, unlisted for either draft pool. All right, so there's undrafted. So right, this is how dumb this draft is. I just want to make sure this is clear.
Oh.
AOP, not drafted. Cesaro, not drafted. Fire and Desire, not drafted. The Iconics, not drafted. Who got drafted? Humberto Carrillo. Listen. No one cares about him. Like, it sounds bad, but no one knows who he is.
I love him. That's one of those, and I know that we're kind of talk about this in a more general sense, like, it definitely felt like there were more Heyman people on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Than on SmackDown. Which, I started to wonder myself if I was going to end up liking, if Raw is going to be the underground hit here soon. And SmackDown's going to be the boring, stodgy show that Raw has been over the majority of the brand splits.
Well, looking at these, all right. So, I just gave you like those people who didn't get drafted, right?
Right.
Sin Cara got drafted to Raw.
Well, I mean, he was part of a 3-man package.
With who? No, he's not.
Sin Cara?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't part of a Lucha House Party?
No. When's the last time Sin Cara's been on? That's Lindsay Dorado, Grand Metalik, and,
oh.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, did that happen on SmackDown?
I don't know. But it's like, what? So, wait, so, all right, so these drafts, like, we can both agree the draft was stupid. But, like, they try to make it logical and it doesn't make any sense. Who in their right mind is going to take EC3 over Cesaro? Now, so what I mean by that is, currently, would you take Cesaro or EC3 right now for to gain an audience?
I would take him every time.
I mean, it's just... This is stupid. Like, they took, like, I think the B team is on SmackDown, but AOP isn't on any brand. Get the fuck out of here. Like,
well, that, and, because the only thing that I remember about the draft from SmackDown on Friday there was the fact that Raw drafted Alexa Bliss, and then in the following round picked up Nikki Cross when they could have just done that all in one fell swoop since they're a tag team.
Yeah. And now they traded them.
Oh, yeah, and
So
that was
future
so
considerations.
that was so terrible. You talked about them because they started teasing a trade because Booker T on Raw last night it was already in teasing the trade mode, and it's just like I can understand the team maybe wants to trade someone, but when you're trading a group that is at least as far as I've seen, they're still going to be doing double, like the women's tag team belts are going to be defended on both brands. Like that is going to be one of the few cross-brand belts.
I didn't realize that. I thought they were just stuck on Raw.
And, well, no, they kind of mentioned it with the Kabuki Warriors, I believe, is that if you lose your Was it the Kabuki? Yeah, it's the Kabuki Warriors. They said that if they lose the women's tag team titles, oh, I forgot, Bliss and Cross don't have them right now.
No.
But yeah, they said that if the Kabuki Warriors lose the title belts, they have to be on Raw.
Okay, well, yeah, it's
So.
just how it, I think this is how it used to be when there was only one champion, if I remember right. Yeah, 'cause remember when there was one Universal Champion, that was or one WWE Champion. So
Oh, yeah.
they would go from show to show, but whenever they lost, they go either, I think they go back to their show, if I remembered right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. But I don't think that's a bad idea either to go back to. Man,
Oh.
there are way too many championships. And the tag team one for sure should be just downgraded to you are the WWE Tag Team Champions. Rollins and Lesnar, I guess they want, a title belt on both shows, but it should just be the WWE Championship. But
Oh,
whatever, it's too late.
yeah, that's not happening.
No, it's never gonna happen. Like there should be one women's champion. It's better. So, and that way you give people on both shows something to fight for. That opportunity, your WWE opportunity, title opportunity.
The
You can't say have three of the
WWE's
same match.
kind of done a terrible job, though. Just like, I can't remember the last time that any combination of us have talked about how good the mid card is. Like the only thing that we say about the mid card is how trash it is because the WWE, they get you excited about one person and that's all that matters. And like everyone else is just kind of in the background instead of kind of establishing tiers of players within your system.
Man, I would say it's either all middle tier or lower tier. Like I know Seth is supposed to be on the top, but okay, who's up there with him? No one. I guess Bray, but he got moved. Like it's. I think we got back when we were kids. It was Hogan and whatever monster heels were coming after him. And then you had the Intercontinental part where everybody, like, it seemed there was like 10 to 15 people were involved there. And then you had
Oh.
your, Outback Jacks, whatever else. Now you've got, all right, here's your champion, and then a bunch of guys that don't really do anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making myself clear or not, but.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you mentioned that they have too many belts, but I think Shinsuke defended his at some point recently. Like, just when I kind of thought that he was getting back on track, I feel like I haven't seen him on SmackDown the last couple of weeks. Of course, it's probably because they had to have their big debut on Fox, and then it was followed up by the following week with a draft, which
Yeah.
it kind of you mentioned it earlier. It made both shows kind of unwatchable because as much as I complain about the flow of a regular wrestling show, having to have Stephanie come out and announce the draft, all the draft picks really kind of fucked with the format.
Yeah, and done in such a lackluster way as well. Raw chooses, SmackDown chooses, Raw chooses. Like, ew. It's everything, I guess, that's a different subject. Everything has to be a spectacle with WWE. You can't just say, all right, we're drafting, here we go, we're done. This is what it's going to look like onto the matches and characters.
But yeah. I mean, the draft, any draft is a spectacle these days, though.
Yeah, but it, at least, honestly, at least those other spectacles are done right. And also, you don't have, like, one person making announcements for both, you know, both brands. But it's my fault, oh. And I guess whoever gets mad about the draft, it's your fault, too. I mean, what do you expect? So.
Well, I kind of expected the results that we got, honestly. I mean, you were talking about how stacked SmackDown is, correct?
No, Raw.
Or how stacked Raw is?
Yeah, Raw is stacked. Alright, so the men's division on SmackDown, as of when this got pulled up. Alright, Brock's a champion, so we'll never see him. Just not going to see him often.
Right.
Shinsuke Nakamura, who's been phoning it in since his first match with Sami Zayn. Okay, then you have Ali, Apollo Crews, King Corbin, Heath Slater, The Miz, Sami Zayn, Shorty Gable, Elias, Drew Gulak. Then it goes Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, I think Strowman, I don't know if I mentioned him or not. And Roman Reigns. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that between Lesnar and Roman Reigns, they got a lot of firepower there.
Do you want to see another Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match?
No.
Exactly.
I don't really want to see another Brock Lesnar-Braun Strowman match.
Nope, I'm with you. I don't want to see another Roman. What? Has Roman ever taken Strowman on one-on-one?
Yeah, didn't they have a long-ass feud?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Sure. I'm getting pretty good at that stuff.
I can't see your face since you don't have your camera on, so.
Oh, I never turned the camera on?
I can't see if it's sarcasm or not.
Oh. I didn't know the camera was off.
The dog does not give any secrets away.
I should be working now, I think. Oh. Well, it was... Yeah, yours is frozen, by the way.
Oh.
I've got you getting up to go turn a light off.
Oh, well, shit. I guess I should turn my camera off momentarily. Anyway,
Yeah. But no, it's like, okay, or cool, we can see Daniel Bryan versus, yeah, so there's that. Yeah, it's, unless there's something big gonna happen, because there's, now it's a frozen picture of you with your eyes closed. All right. But no, so, I mean, unless there's something dramatic happens, because there's rumors of Edge coming back, and he was always a SmackDown guy, for the most part.
Well, and I wouldn't... If he comes back, he's going to have a Brock-like schedule.
Oh, yeah.
He is not going to be... he might be an every-week occurrence, but it's not going to be an every-week in-ring occurrence, that's for sure.
Yeah. The Undertaker could go there, but he wrestles, what, once a year? It's not even in this country. So, big deal. Oh, man. I don't know. It's like, Fox gave him more money, and they gave him less product. No, because, like, the women's division is Carmella, Lacey Evans, Sasha Banks, Tamina, and Bayley. Oh, now I guess Alexa, Nikki Cross. Which means Raw's division is Charlotte, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Zelina Vega, and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, well, as much as I enjoy Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, I'd be okay with not seeing that again for quite some time.
5 years. I mean,
I know it's not going to be that long, but...
You know what the thing is? Even Elise goes, why are they fighting again? She's like, isn't there anybody else? And I'm like, yeah, but they don't really use them. I mean, like, in all honesty, Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley. I mean, they're the four horsewomen, and they are the best ones. Like, all four of them are better than the rest of the division. Except for maybe Asuka.
Oh, yeah, but they seem to have her firmly entrenched in the tag team division, at least at this moment.
And that's actually okay, because I love the green makeup she's putting on and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the green raining blood, and then Kairi Sane's got a little bit, but that's just weirdness anyways. No one wants to boo those two.
They are trying their darndest to get booed.
Yeah, well.
But again, people like them. People love heels, too.
But I think at the same time with them, especially, is people just want to cheer Asuka. Fans want to get behind her, and they will not give you any reason to do it. So we just all stupidly hope that something big is going to come of it. Honestly, how badass was that promo when her and Kairi came out and Asuka was going crazy in Japanese like she used to?
That's one that I've definitely been on a lot recently. Let the international talent speak in their own language.
Uh-huh.
And why they can't figure... they do the subtitles for AOP, which, again, I'm all for it.
Yep, I think it's awesome.
But why can't they figure out subtitles for Asuka?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Aside from that, she's awesome. Like, anytime when she's just screaming in Japanese, like, and this is what I say every time, just emotes better. Like, you get this, I get a real sense of what she's trying to say without understanding a lick of anything that she's saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always what, like, Shahid ruined that for me. When you see, we've seen it a million times, but you see, like, somebody not speaking their native language. And it always comes off as stiff and wooden. And ever since you pointed that out, I'm like, bastard. Like, yeah, it's ruining the movie now. And that's what it is. Like, I love the AOP stuff. I just love those segments anyways. And, all right, so this is what cracks me up, though. Both of those guys speak perfectly fine English.
Oh, like, yeah. You know? I mean, I don't think it's completely necessary because, I mean, there are some people that do seem to be quite comfortable speaking English, even though it's their second language. Well, I mean, come on, Cesaro. I don't know if Cesaro would be better in Swiss or not. But the guy's probably been...
He speaks like seven languages, remember?
Yeah, I know.
So, like, Andrade, they don't let talk. Zelina does it for him. But I don't know. There's just something... Is it a heel thing to speak in a foreign language still? Is that why?
Well, I definitely think Vince thinks that.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I was going with it, yeah.
You know, I why that wouldn't dawn on you? I mean, the WWE has been trying to go international for how long now? Like, I mean, it's been a long while at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been at least a decade where they've been trying to do these global shows. I mean, they're definitely more frequent now than they used to be. But, you know, you'd think you'd get rid of the evil foreigner kind of situation. Like, honestly, I was a little bit surprised that people did not think that the Green Mist was racist. Like, I was waiting. I thought for sure when I hopped on Twitter after she did it, after Asuka did the Green Mist the first time, that people were going to say how derivative it was and that no one of Japanese heritage should be, you know, spitting green mist because it's just racist.
Which would be hilarious because she was doing that in Japan as well. So, like, that was her thing. It's actually supposed to be like a poison mist or something like that. Oh, so that, okay. that's how it's explained, like, why they can't, like, how it hurts them and it's, you know, terrible in the eyes and all that. It's supposed to be like a poison mist. There was an actual name for it, but I don't remember what it was.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's kind of like a campy thing. But then also, I think she's supposed to be like, Asuka used to be like an undead or some sort of just like almost mystical evil person.
Oh.
Because if you ever look at old pictures of her in Japan, her face paint was scary.
Yeah, because I believe after that happened, I saw a couple of old pictures of her with different face paints, and I'm like, damn, man, that is pretty creepy stuff.
Yes, and it's like it's slowly getting to that now, which I'm all for. I mean, you gotta make her stand out, you know? I mean, not that she didn't anyways. Someone with like practically a rainbow haircut, wearing like a bejeweled sports bra and beating the shit out of other women, you pretty much stand out, right?
But, yeah.
You know.
You would think that she already did, but, you know. But yeah, I definitely think that Vince still kind of has it in his head that foreigners equal evil.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely the foreign language, you know, kind of carries that. But I think, obviously, with any number of talents either having workarounds or just flat out letting them speak their native tongue, things definitely have a different vibe these days.
Oh, yeah. But I don't disagree. I do think that foreign language still means, well, these people, like, our fans aren't going to like it. Well, like you pointed out, if you're trying to go international, but it's just better. Like, it was always great when Asuka went crazy in NXT.
Oh.
She just go nuts in Japanese. You're like, what? But it was like, wait, what? Someone's gonna get killed, right? And that's usually what happened. It was great.
Yeah, but, yeah. I don't know. That about sums it up.
So, all right. So here's something. At what point does, like, the blame fall on the fans? Because, like, we just got done talking about Asuka and how great she is. But we all know where she is, where she's at, and where she's been since she got into WWE. So, like, we're still... Is it like the Dolph Ziggler thing? We're like, I don't know why they're not doing something with him. To the point where we got angry with it, and then now we've all just given up on it. Like the fans want something, but WWE's not giving it to you. So who's in the wrong?
You
want it and you want it and you don't enjoy the product because they're not giving you what you want. Or is that the problem? Like, you know, you go to a fast food joint, I want a hamburger, I want a cheeseburger. They bring out a hamburger. You're like, no, it's not a cheeseburger. And you just keep going back and forth. And they just keep giving you hamburger until you're like, fine, whatever. I don't know if that's a good analogy or not.
It's a somewhat decent analogy, but I mean, the other part that would have to exist is that there's only one fast food restaurant in the whole world.
Yeah,
or, you know, I mean, or at least it was close to that case for the WWE. Because, I mean, ROH and or Impact Wrestling has been a distant second for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw this... some of the people that we follow liked a Vince Russo tweet. And it was about how Impact drew more people than AEW's debut did. He's like, "Oh, it must be different times now." And I'm like, "Yeah, it is. You would not draw 2 million people right now."
Wait a minute, is he trying to say when Impact debuted against Monday Night Raw?
I don't remember if he put a time frame. Maybe it was like when he started running the show or whatever.
That's bullshit.
Well, again, like it was like, whatever, dude. Like, A, you're still not any good. And it was only because Vince kind of helped guide you into the right place that things went as well as they did for you. I guess to kind of get back to the food analogy, like, you know, a lot of fans did not have much of a choice. And I mean, now it's just ridiculous. Like, you really can shut off the WWE and still get way more than enough wrestling these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Whether you want to do like, you know, whether you want to do an Evolve style thing or, you know, even at least, yeah, ROH is still a bigger promotion than that, despite their myriad amount of problems at the current moment.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of options now that you can really just stop watching the network and be done with it if you don't like it. Like, yeah. It is one of those things that I guess I have, especially recently, I haven't really gotten to hate watching. Like, did I think that the Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell match was a complete disaster? Yeah. Like that, I mean, that's one of the biggest dumb things that I've seen the WWE do recently.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
And I mean, whether it's Shaheed and I or Chris and I mean, we talked about why did the WWE put themselves in this position anyway? You know, like they never should have booked the match. Like, it just shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So I think everyone agrees on that one. Yeah.
So. You know, I guess I don't feel like I'm hate watching the WWE. I'm definitely critical of some of their choices that they make. And I don't know if I'll ever, like, be complete, like, I guess I'd be completely out if, because, and I always refer to it, especially when you're on the show, like, was it episode 400, 300 or 400? Of Stunt Granny Audio that were like, maybe we should stop watching wrestling, and I started doing the beer stuff.
Might have been 300. I think that was 300. Yeah, I think it was 300.
And, you know, eventually I started OPA, and you started, you know, we watched stuff with Shaheed.
Yeah.
You know, the WWE was in a real bad spot at that point. And I'm not sure that it's, I don't know if it's going to get, well, it'll probably get that low again at some point. And just because,
I would argue it's there now. I think what makes this worse is the talent they have is better than it was then, but the product is worse now. I mean, I'm with you. I don't sit there and hate watch this. But I was watching parts of it yesterday going, I don't care about any of this. I don't give two fucks about Tyson Fury. I never heard of the guy before. Because boxing isn't that popular in the States. It used to be. And people can argue that. It's a niche audience now. I mean, cricket's popular around the world, but we don't watch it here.
It does seem to be getting a little bit of traction, honestly. Like, I feel like I've seen more advertising for boxing recently within maybe the last 24 months or so. I'm not. I still haven't bought a boxing pay-per-view outside of McGregor versus Mayweather. So it hasn't kind of gotten to me that much, but I've also kind of stopped watching UFC pay-per-views because they're only on ESPN Plus.
Oh yeah, MMA to me is dead. I'll watch like other leagues, but UFC, forget it. Or wait, yeah, UFC. It's college football season. I was like, wait, did I say UCF? Because you have to buy, you have to have the ESPN Plus app, and then you have to buy the pay-per-views. No.
Yeah, even though it's discount, I think that it's supposed to be discounted whatever the monthly subscription is for ESPN Plus, but I'm like, no, I'm not gonna watch it otherwise. Like, and I'm not gonna get it just for that.
Yeah, until they start putting stuff on exclusively, and watching a Peyton Manning show is not going to do it. So, but no, but to get back to what I was saying, though, I was like, I'm watching Raw, going, I don't really care about any of this. I watched SmackDown the week before, I didn't really care about any of that stuff. It was cool seeing The Rock. All right, but
Yeah.
especially when the Lions were on last night, so I'm watching that travesty. So, I mean, I was much more emotionally invested in the Lions, which I very rarely am, than I was with anything going on with Raw until the end, and then I just went, fuck this. I mean, Seth, the good guy going into the bad guy, burning his place down, even though Bray Wyatt's like, what are you doing? Like.
Well, A, if. Now, this is where I kind of have a problem, I guess, with that logic. Is that if you say that, then you can't say that Seth is a dumbass for letting the Fiend attack him all the time. Because he was trying to kill Bray Wyatt, who is the Fiend. Like, I don't care that Bray Wyatt was saying, no, don't do this to me. That's like going up to the serial killer when he's being nice and going, oh, no, it's okay. I love you. And hugging him and walking away. Like, you're asking to be stabbed in the back.
Yeah, but
You
in
know,
this
you
case,
can't have
people are
it both
cheering for Bray
ways.
Wyatt, and Seth Rollins is the one getting booed.
Well, yeah.
You know,
Let him
when the
get
reactions
booed.
are opposite, and it's like if Seth wants to be the bad guy, fine. But they're still treating him like the good guy.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
But again, the WWE can't book unless they have the bad guy be or the good guy become the bad guy for whatever reason these days. Like, it is. It's a bizarre because again, like all the women have to snap. Like Bailey, like everyone's like, oh, great, Bailey finally snapped. And it's just like, and even the fans in the arena are cheering for it. Like, it's one of those things, just like the WWE can't win. Like, I think that they've done a terrible job of presenting the baby faces, but. Well, okay, maybe it's more the presentation of the baby faces.
Yeah, well,
I guess we kind of went back to that topic, but
yeah.
yeah, they have a problem presenting the baby faces for whatever reason these days. Like, I still think that they'd have a problem because I don't think that they can present them exactly the way that, oh, a Hulk Hogan used to be presented. Being that altruistic.
But I think, I know people cheer for Hogan now. And remember, he was getting booed. He turned bad. People were cheering him when he turned bad. At first,
Oh.
everyone was booing, and then they all got happy with him. And then it was like, all right, we want him to lose finally. That's a, you know. I don't know. It's a weird situation to be in because AEW's running into this too. Chris Jericho is supposed to be the bad guy.
Oh.
He's getting cheered like crazy. Hell, that whole group is getting cheered. The Inner Circle. All of them got cheered. People were cheering fucking Jake Hager. Which, can we put this to rest? Why? I never had anything against Jack Swagger, but they're treating him like he's the next coming right now. It's like, no, you're second coming.
It's just because he is. It that's like dropping Jack Swagger or Well, actually, it's kind of like having Keith Lee and Donovan Dijakovic on the NXT roster. Like, they're dropping Jake Hager into a league that the vast majority of people are, like, my size.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith Lee's a big-ass dude, man.
He's a goddamn monster.
Yeah, he's got abs. He's got, like, he's got those fat abs.
Yeah, the old Chuck Liddell abs.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, but he's another one. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they start using him again, especially with a two-hour show now, you get more stuff. He's got the big one for Wednesday, the rubber match of that, so.
Oh. Yeah.
That should be good. The other two were pretty damn good, so.
But, I don't understand why Jake Hager's getting the cheer that he is. Like, I mean, obviously people liked the We the People kind of gimmick, but he was a guy that he got a title reign, but he never really did anything with it.
No. Well, what's funny to me is the We the People thing, you know, Jericho says, you know, it was a stupid decision by bad creative. Well, on the indie scene, and I believe he did it for some of his MMA fights, Swagger was encouraging the We the People thing.
Oh.
Because I think he was even wearing like a shirt that said We the People.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you can't have it both ways. Like, what the fuck?
Agreed.
But AEW's running into that problem. To go back to that, like, all those guys get cheered. Cody gets cheered. MJF's supposed to be a bad guy, gets cheered. It's just bizarre to me. But it's also, maybe, like, this audience, they're doing what they want. And they're enjoying the show as long as the product's good. They're enjoying it. So, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out who got booed for AEW. Like,
oh, I don't know. I guess I still think that's one thing with AEW that I think they have an advantage just simply because they're not the WWE.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They can book something as shitty as that stupid mallet angle. And people let it slide right now because it's just not the WWE. But it does, you know, I mean, oh, they've avoided that decision so far. They've run one show, you know, like, it's not like they've run shows for even an entire year yet.
Yeah. I'll be going to one in 3 weeks, something like that. So, I don't know. I don't be a show for AEW, but I enjoyed that second episode a lot more than I did the first. Because they fixed some of the stuff I really didn't like. So I was like, okay, so they're learning. And still, one of my favorite things is to listen to when Jim Ross checks out. He's all for stuff, and as soon as something dumb happens, he just goes, well, why is the referee doing this? And, like, Excalibur will try and, like, justify something. He's like, well, no, the referee just did it like that. Like, he's just calling out the stupidity. And he did that a lot in the first episode. And a lot of the stuff he complained about got fixed. So, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. So, I know it's a cool thing to like right now, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. So, and that Darby Allin skateboard thing was cool as hell.
Oh.
That was just cool.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised considering he used to be a professional. Yeah, well, that he could pull something off like that. And I'll tell you what, if you really hit someone over the back with your skateboard, that hurt like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I would think so, yes. that isn't like a corkboard or anything, so.
Yeah. Well, and he hit him with the trucks and the tires first. And
oh shit, did he?
I think so. I'm like, oh my god, dude, are you trying to maim him?
Jesus. But I'm looking forward to that match tomorrow, Jericho and Darby Allin. I mean, Darby's not going to last long because he's going to end up just destroying his spine. But
oh yeah, I stopped skateboarding because it was too rough on my body. I moved to professional wrestling.
Where I do a coffin drop, which is actually visually very cool looking. But at the same time, oof, what a rough, rough move that is. Just no, you don't brace yourself, nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah, you just a very long flat back.
Yeah. Well, he kind of projects himself like a missile or a rocket.
Yeah.
So he's not doing that stupid thing. I'm glad Kofi doesn't do it much. That trust fall dive.
Oh.
Because I'm like, all right, so he's doing that. I'll just step out of the way because it's so slow.
Well, I feel like he only does it now when there's like a huge mass of people down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, thank God. So, because remember he did it to the Usos, and I'm like, you tell me the Usos stand there for that? That's just silly. Wednesday nights is the fun night for wrestling right now.
Oh.
And while we were recording this, I was watching the replay of Impact's Bound for, I think it was Bound for Glory. Or it was a Slammiversary, whatever it was on, with Michael Elgin and Brian Cage.
Oh.
Good big man match. Good match. Like, okay. So, although I've seen the stuff Impact's doing now with Cage's wife or his fiance. Like, Sami Callihan, who couldn't draw flies if he was shit. Like, pile driving his wife and all this stuff. I'm going, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm finally just getting around to last week's highlights, which is just hilarious. Last week. Not this week. You're watching live, and I am
such
thing.
So.
I will not remember anything you said by the time I'm done doing this write-up.
No shit. Same thing, man. I don't take that personally at all. No, there's sometimes he and I get done talking, and I'm like, I gotta keep notes during the show, or I'm screwed. So, I guess we should get out of here. We've been talking for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a long one.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I just kind of let
Evolve
it go.
Stuff took longer than I expected. So.
Yeah, it took a solid half hour. So. Okie dokie, Bell Time beer for the evening, Dortmunder Gold Lager from Great Lakes. I have it in my fridge because I have a bunch of stuff that my father-in-law was supposed to drink the other weekend and didn't. So it is now getting consumed. It's solid if you like that whole lager thing. I'm still realizing that I do not really like those beers that all the light beers pattern themselves off of. even when good breweries such as Great Lakes make them, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I want a little more punch in my drink. Well, maybe not even necessarily punch, just because all the Oktoberfests aren't punch. But they do have a better flavor to them, in my opinion. So, I'll leave it at that, for the Bell Time Beer of the Week. At Stunt Granny, at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze. Write reviews on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.